up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
What is going on, people? We are back. It is the Dynasty Happy Hour brought to you by Trophy Smack. Once again, go to trophysmack.com, use code DHHRING, and get yourself a free ring when you go get yourself a awesome trophy for that championship you just won. I am here with Mr. Tim Keller and Justin McCaslin.
Yeah.
Did I get it right this time?
Yeah.
Nice. Justin, what is going on? How are you this week?
I'm doing well. I feel bad for the Saints fans and the Chiefs fans
because
I rooted for their teams, so I feel a little responsible.
You are a Cowboys fan, so you do kind of, you're kind of like the buzzkill.
Yeah, I don't think I have the Drake level of, you know, jinxing teams, but apparently if I root for you, you're going to lose. So,
all right, just stay away from Atlanta, which shouldn't be an issue.
No.
Tim, how is it going?
I'm in the same boat as Justin, was rooting for those same two teams, and a tip on Atlanta. I mean, they got to play a meaningful game for people to root for them to be jinxed in to begin with. But, I'm happy to be back. Overall, it was a very good weekend of football. It was some great games today. I didn't enjoy the outcomes, but there are plenty of people that did. So hopefully the teams you were rooting for did proceed on to the Super Bowl. Not for me, though.
The games were as promised.
Yeah, we definitely got spoiled today. So if you're just a general football fan, I think you walked away very happy today with everything that has happened.
Well, if you're a general football fan and you saw that call, let's say you had no rooting interest in there and you're just a general football fan, you had to hate that no call in the Saints game there.
I don't know what you're talking about. It looked fair to me. But but we are going to talk about startup strategies and kind of go over that. And Tim and I, we are in a startup right now. We're trying out that Sleeperbot app for our Dynasty League for the staff. It's a 14-team league, Superflex. We'll chat about that in the middle of the podcast. But first, I want to tell everybody a little secret. We have a new podcast coming out every Thursday for you guys, and it is with DHH underscore Mandrew, Andrew Harbaugh, and everybody's favorite Cincinnati fan, because there's only like three in the world, Dwight Peebles, who is a freaking fantastic Devi person. Those two do great work with the Devi Manual podcast. And the Devi Owner's Manual. Sorry, I forgot a word. Devi Owner's Manual podcast. They do a great job over there, but they are going to also do a podcast here as well. We're going to kind of bring in some Devi strategies. They're going to talk about some Devi players and strategies, how to go about your league. It's going to come out every Thursday, and they're actually going to have a week off during the month. So, you know, it'll be back and forth between the Owner's Manual and then us. But yes, we have a new podcast. Go follow them. It is Devi Happy Hour. Yes, same thing, DHH, Devi Happy Hour with those two. It's going to be good. We're going to have our Devi rankings coming out in February. And we are going to get some rookie ranks up in probably, hopefully a week.
I look forward to that.
Hopefully a week. We're talking about with our editor. And I got a new notebook. I have done one player, Joshua Jacobs. I've watched two games on him. I need to do another couple to kind of fully get my scouting. I don't like to call myself a scout because I have no class or anything, education. But, yeah, I like what I see, but we'll have to see where he ranks. And how about you guys? You guys kind of digging into this class?
I'm well dug in on the class so far. There are still plenty of draft prospects out there, though, that I still want to get more in. And as kids declare, as some of these underclassmen declare, you see more and more film come out on them. So I start with those, you know, most years I start with the underclassmen first. So I'm going to circle back and start hitting some of that extra film I haven't watched on them. But, yeah, I like the wide receivers in this class for sure. The running backs, there's some interesting prospects in the running back group, but nothing. There's not that guy that just screams, you know, this is the dude this year.
Right. I completely agree on that. And I think that for the running backs, it's all going to be landing spot dependent. Honestly, landing spot and draft capital dependent, because I'd be surprised if we saw an early drafted running back this year based on everything else that's in the draft.
Daniel Jeremiah says fifth overall to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Joshua Jacobs is going to go
there. If that happens, I'm not going to be burned like I did last time, because I was not on Kamara because of his small sample size. And if a team jumps in and says, yeah, on a guy like that, I'm definitely jumping on board, because he has the talent and he's a great running back, but he just has a small sample size. And I think that the Alabama thing throws me off a little bit. But yeah, I've dove in on a little bit of this class too. I feel like I need to do a little bit more work on the running backs, because I'll be honest, I got really excited for the receivers in this class and went pretty deep on them. But tight end's going to be fun too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be a very fun 3 months coming up until that draft. We're going to have a lot of info for you all. All right, guys, you ready to talk startups and strategies?
Definitely, let's do this.
All right, Tim, I'm going to give you the floor now.
Okay. So, yeah.
All right, everybody, Tim Keller. Let's give him a round of applause.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. First off, I'd like to thank my wife. I don't know what kind of award I think I'm getting here, but no, it is startup season, that's for sure. I mean, I know we have the, the Dynasty Happy Hour chat, and those guys get a little rambunctious sometimes, so I'm sure there's going to be multiple startup drafts throughout this offseason just amongst ourselves. But for the mass public, it is also startup season. So I want to ask both you guys, what is your, strategy going into most startups? Are you guys win now types? Are you guys kind of the productive struggle types? I know, Tyler, I'm going to ask you this anyways, but I kind of know your style. But give that to the fans. What do you like to do in startups?
So me, I like a blend. I want to hit what seems to be the advantage of scoring first. Say it's super flex. I would like to get a stud quarterback with my first or second pick. I need a stud quarterback, because they're gonna have the most value after the draft. Maybe in draft they won't, but once that draft is over, those prices skyrocket compared to everybody else, because you're gonna have three or four teams that their quarterback too is a Teddy Bridgewater type. They're going to be struggling. And if you come out of the draft with say it is Matt Ryan or something, and then you go in with like a Sam Darnold, like that's usually my strategy. You go in with a veteran quarterback, somebody who's a proven quarterback one, then you hit the rookie with huge upside like Lamar Jackson or Sam Darnold. You got two quarterbacks, and then you kind of wait on your third, and you sit there and, okay, maybe you do get a Teddy Bridgewater as a third. But if you're a team that you're depending on just one quarterback and hoping that, say, a Nick Mullins pops out of nowhere, that I don't think that's the way to do a super flex.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm similar in the sense that I like to grab high and then mid. I never wait low for a second. There's one thing I hate doing in super flex leagues, and that's trying to find a starter at quarterback.
Yep.
And so that's I typically overinvest at quarterback, but I feel better about being able to rebuild at other positions than that one.
Definitely
agreed.
Definitely. So Tyler, I know that you like to move around a lot in the drafts. Explain to myself and everybody else what you're attempting to do there when you get these startups. You move around. In the one we're doing, I think you've probably moved around more than anybody else in that one. If not, there might be one person that's moved around a little bit more. But are you just jockeying for position? Are you just you're feeding your fix? Or what are you doing there?
I look at the available players. Mm-hmm. I'll kind of see what's available, and I'll look at them and put them in tiers. And if say I pick in three picks and I have eight players in a tier left, I'm going to attempt to move back, and I'm going to look to move up in the next round after this next pick. Well, moving back and still get a player in my tier, I know in this past draft, I was going to take Cooper Kupp two rounds earlier.
Yep.
But he kept falling, so I traded back once, and then finally, when the time was right, I got my guy. And sometimes the board falls to you, which happened with me. But sometimes it doesn't, which happened to you recently.
Yep.
And I know exactly what player you're talking about. Antonio Callaway was a guy you were probably looking at, and you got sniped. And you were on the turn, and that is a huge strategy to me, is the turn. Because if you have somebody, I think Sabota had picks right after you, double picks. And Callaway was probably in the top tiers for me with players available. And I was actually thinking about taking him over Marvin Jones. And when I noticed that you chose to take somebody else first, you took the chance of hoping Callaway was going to return to you, when possibly vice versa, you could have got both of the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's another huge strategy.
Yeah. So, Justin, I haven't had the pleasure of drafting with you yet. I'm sure we'll get one of these in this offseason. But do you move around a lot in the startups?
I don't typically do a whole lot of moving like it was. Sounds like Tyler's doing. That sounds like a lot of work. No, I just don't. I like to let the draft come to me, because a lot of times I feel like the amount of work it takes to get a trade where you get a little piece here and then move back and then have to trade back up to get your guy is, I mean, sometimes it works and you get a little bit on top, but that's just not my style. I don't fault anybody for doing it, because that's the grind. And a lot of times you can grind out a little bit of profit over the course of a whole draft. I am aggressive when it comes down to if a guy I like is on the board and I know he's not going to make it back to me. That's when I'll get real aggressive, like hitting up every single guy that's about to be up, looking at the looking at their team needs. So obviously, if it's a team that's got one quarterback and I've got one quarterback and this is the last of a tier, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get ahead of them.
Yeah.
And so that's something I'll definitely do. I wouldn't call myself active like what you guys do, but aggressive, yes. And so, and I've become more active in startup trades as I've done more startups, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I know doing rankings for the site, I know where I have players mapped out pretty well in my head.
Yeah.
I'm just going over and redoing rankings so often. But I don't necessarily tier them out like Tyler does. I do take advantage of watch lists, things like that. So I'll put players I'm interested in on things like that on the watch list. And then as the draft's going on and I see that, you know, that round 2 through 3 watch list I might have start to dwindle. And then I start seeing guys that I didn't put on my watch list. So I feel that their 3rd and 4th round talents start to go. And I have one or two of those guys left. Like in this case, Aaron Jones was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, he's going to go in one of these next 2 or 3 picks. And it came down to a point where my tiers that was left, my watch list I had left was Sony Michel and Aaron Jones. Sony Michel goes, I immediately start sending offers out, get a trade done, got Aaron Jones. I got one of my guys that I wanted to get on my team. And that's really what I'm going to preach here is get your guy. In the startup we're doing, I am on the turn. I'm the 2nd pick overall in the draft. So I have that long wait in between picks as it snakes back to me. And that's exactly right. I came down. I had two guys I really wanted on a turn here. I took Dallas Goedert as a tight end. This is also tight end premium, thinking I could get Callaway to fall back to me. You know, pick right in front of me takes him. So you can't fault the other owners for also valuing players that you like in those spots. But it's one of those where maybe if I'd gone Callaway, Goedert falls back to me. To start the next round, but you never know. It's one of those things. You'll never find out.
Hindsight's 20/20 for sure.
Yeah. And especially on those turn type picks, if you're thinking, man, this is probably a round or two early for this guy, there's also a chance that he's not going all the way down and all the way back to you, because that is more than a full round at that point. So if you have a guy that you feel, man, this is probably 10, 12 picks too early, you're not going to be there in 10, 12 picks. unless you think you can move into one of those.
That's where I'll look at trading back.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that it's a big reach, and I mean a big reach, like I could easily move back 12 picks and get him, but I can't wait 24, like what you're alluding to. That's where I'll look for the guys that are wanting to move up. Because the great thing about having a good league with a good chat is there's usually someone that's saying, I'd like to move up into this pick. You know, they've got a need that you filled or something like that. So be active in the chat. And you could even say, I mean, I think it's a great thing to get in there and say, hey, I'm not attached to this pick. Does anybody want to move up a little bit?
Yeah.
And, you know, be forward about what you want. Be like, hey, you three guys, I'd like to move into one of your picks. Hit me up. I think that's a great way to, in air quotes, win a draft or do what's best for you in a draft. And go ahead.
Finish.
I was going to say, sorry to jump all over it, but I think that you hit on something that is hugely important in startup drafts is know where you have players and tier them. Because if you have tiers set up, you know that exact spot that you're going to be upset that you didn't get back into.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. When it's exhausted, because not all picks are created equally.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Now, you brought up the be active in your chat, and Tyler mentioned we are playing on the Sleeperbot app. They have a great chat. There's the full league chat where everybody can come in and comment. Plenty of talk about trades in there. Hey, you know, I took OJ Howard. I'm looking to move him already. You know, I'm willing to move out of this next pick. I'm looking to move into these next couple picks. You got all kinds of stuff like that. And then when, you don't want to see the rest of the league, you know, you going back and forth with somebody about a trade, you got the direct messaging between everybody in your league. So you can start the conversation on the main chat and then go to the DM and have, you know, work out all the, you know, the fine tuning of the trade, and you get your stuff done there. But I also wanted to bring up in these startups, I like to look at guys that are going to be free agents. And then not only, we'll just use Tevin Coleman here. Tevin Coleman, it's believed he's probably going to be somewhere else other than Atlanta next year. But then if Tevin does leave, who does that help? So in this case, Tevin leaving Atlanta is obviously going to open up some work for Ito Smith. And we all got to see a good bit of him towards the end of the season here. So I just use that as an example. But do you guys take any of that stuff into account when running these startups? Like maybe Ito Smith 3-4 months ago might not have gone in a certain spot, but now that it's looking like Tevin's completely out of the way, are you going to move guys like Ito up because of that?
I saw some nice things from Ito. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that I think he progressed through the year. He got better running between the tackles. I know he's not an overly big guy. He's about 205, kind of the same size as Devonta Freeman. But Devonta Freeman has more of a bigger lower body than Ito does, which, by the way, love Devonta Freeman's price coming into this year. It seems like he's dropping like crazy. I swear he went in like the sixth round in this startup, which is nuts. And it's just with Ito, you don't know. Like there's a good chance they draft somebody in the third or fourth round again. Or maybe next year they draft the heir apparent to Devonta Freeman. I mean, we all know about next year's class. They could be a team that looks at running back then and kind of just gets along with Ito and Devonta this year. I know Brian Hill showed very well in the second to last week. Had like 9 rushes for 100 and some yards and a touchdown. He's a guy that like Sigmund Bloom and Cecil Lammy like. And with Ito, it's just... Is the talent completely there? He's a good pass catching back. He's a good runner, but he's not eye popping to me. You know what I mean? So players like that, you got to be wary of and kind of draft with caution, because he's a fourth round pick. He's got a guy who just got a contract extension a year ago. So yeah, just like I said, I like Ito, but just be cautious about him.
Yeah. And Devonta did go at 6'9" in this draft. It was actually after Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
So, and Tyler, you kind of brought it up. it's one of those out of sight, out of mind things with Devonta, you know, being injured as much as he was. That's another strategy I like to, you know, keep in my head too, is remember those guys. Remember Devonta Freeman, Darius Geis, those type of players, because especially with the ADP this time of year, not really solidified yet, there's not a ton of startup drafts going, you're going to be able to really go down low on these player rankings and find some of those guys that just haven't been drafted in the premier spots lately. But you got to remember, I mean, Darius Geis, I don't want to say he was pushing Saquon for the 101, but any other year, I think he's a pretty solid 101 for rookie drafts. And, you know, he had that bad injury in the preseason. And now look, I mean, people just kind of forget about him a little bit. You know, that'll say out of mind.
He was my fourth round pick. I took a chance. And to be honest with you, I think I stole him.
Yeah. It's a very good pick. I had him. If he'd have got back to me, he was my very next pick, 100%.
Yeah. And I want to go back to talking Superflex, because in this league, it really raised an eyebrow to me and how just – if you know what Superflex is and you've been in one and you've been in a draft, you know how scarce the position is for good quarterbacks. And I don't know if you want to mention how just insane this quarterback run was.
Well, obviously going into a Superflex draft, you got to know that quarterbacks are going to go off the board a little sooner than they normally would. In a one quarterback league, I will play chicken with everybody else in that draft room and attempt to be the last one to take a quarterback, because I'll just try to chew up the value at all the other positions as much as possible before I have to take that quarterback. Because your quarterback, well, this year Mahomes was pretty solid, but normally your quarterback 1 to like quarterback 13, 14, there's not a huge disparity in points per game. So,
well, even Mahomes this year in one quarterback league, you probably got him in like the 9th round.
Yes, this year. This year, yeah. Obviously. But so this is a super flex league. I knew quarterbacks were going to go, you know, a little sooner than most. And first pick in the draft, the 101 overall was Patrick Mahomes. And obviously this might have been one of those cases where he's going and getting his guy. He has, you know, he knows full well Patrick Mahomes is not going to make it back to him. What's that?
It shook up the draft right from the start.
Well, yeah, that set the tone. That set this tone. And these quarterbacks started flying off the board. I mean, we had 4 in the first round, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more in the second. So in 2 rounds of a 14-team league, 10 quarterbacks are off the board in the first 28 picks. That's pretty insane. That's a crazy, crazy pace. To the point where it gets back to me with my second pick, so the 27th overall pick. Normally, Superflex or not, there's no chance I'm taking a quarterback here. And I felt, okay, if I don't get a quarterback on this turn, I'm going to be looking at like Blake Bortles and Joe Flacco. Yeah,
you're screwed.
Yeah, so I went out, I got myself Matt Ryan, he was still there. But yeah, I was blown away by the amount of quarterbacks going in this league this early.
So this is where, for whatever reason, when you guys started talking about this, it made me think of a strategy I might employ in this instance. Uh-huh. And it would really, I know this is because I'm, you know, a tightwad, and it would depend on money, like how much the league cost. But if I didn't have a whole lot riding on winning soon, I would have probably taken all the value at the other positions I could and just pushed off winning until 2020, when I could draft their quarterbacks that come out then.
Yeah.
And just pile up whatever, you know, auction money or picks for 2020 and take the discount on those high-end positional players that aren't quarterback. And then, you know, shoot for some bargain bin guys like we've mentioned earlier. Because if people are going to value quarterback that much, the play, in my opinion, is to pivot.
Pivot?
It's actually not a bad idea. I mean, we're in the 9th round now. Case Keenum just went. So, I mean, yeah, if you would have spent your first 8 picks on, you know, top-end skill players, you probably have a pretty solid roster of skill players, and you're going to get a guy like Case Keenum that's going to, you know, at least hold the fort down for a year or two, like you said, until you can, you know, continue to build your rookie draft capital. and just load up with the quarterbacks you really want in these rookie drafts.
I mean, if I could end up with, you know, Saquon at 102 and, you know, talking about like a Nuck or MT in the second round, and then, you know, take the value as it cascades down, and then 2 years or a year from now have Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence as my starting quarterbacks, I think that's a winning formula.
I would kill somebody for Trevor Lawrence as my quarterback in Dynasty.
Yeah, he's going to be fun. That's for sure. I wanted to mention something from what you guys were talking about earlier to circle back to it. But I hate, and I mean like underline bold hate, drafting startups before the NFL draft. I've done it once before, and I would say the biggest risk involved in those is free agents, whether the free agent or the free agent coming in and ruining a position. So that's something that is like, there's obviously room to have a huge boon in value, whether someone left and you drafted the, you know, the backup. The backup, or you draft the guy that is a free agent, which those are a little bit easier to pick because, you know, that's a guarantee, almost a guarantee they're leaving, that they're, you know, not going to get franchise tagged or re-signed with the same team. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a spot that you really have to pay a lot of attention to. And knowing those things going in before you draft them is really important if you're going to enter a startup prior to the NFL draft and free agency.
See, I want to disagree with you because I like the value swing. I like kind of taking risk. I like sitting here and being like, okay.
It does provoke trades, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem with people that like it. I just personally won't. Because I dislike it that much. So I get the draw, and it makes absolute sense for the people that like that kind of thing. It's almost like starting a season halfway through a season, if that makes sense. Like it's almost like there's two seasons because it swings the value of several teams after free agency and after the NFL draft, depending on if you draft players.
You like a little more clarity before you start your drafts.
Yeah.
And that's, I completely get it. And I want to hit on something here that kind of goes in line with that. Mm-hmm. There's really no clarity on a guy like Gronkowski. There's been 9 tight ends.
Yeah.
Gronk's not one of
them.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, you say that. When do you have your rookie drafts then?
Typically,
like the day
most,
after.
The most aggressive ones are the day after. And I've actually said that there's one that I think people usually push for. You start before the last day is ended of the NFL draft. And that's really annoying. But typically within the first couple weeks are all of my rookie drafts.
Okay. And which in kind of comparison, it's kind of like having the draft now, like a startup draft, because rookie picks can sway like crazy throughout the summer.
Oh, they do.
So, for like, sure. Like Rojo, he's going top 5 in some drafts. He dropped into the second round. Royce Freeman was a 102 pick this summer, and now not even close. So, like, just the movement of ranks and rookie drafts. I know my two home leagues, they actually wanted to push for August 1st for a draft, and I was okay with it because the thing is, all my drafts are right after the NFL draft, and I want to stick with my rookie values. Like Chubb was going 109 in August, and imagine how much Nick Chubb I would have had if I would have drafted in August in my leagues. I would have loved it.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm right there
with
you.
My big home league, up until about 3 years ago, you know, this originally was a redraft league that became a keeper league that eventually turned into a dynasty league years back. And I mean, these guys were just used to drafting right before the season started. So once we transitioned into dynasty, every year I bring it up, you know, we'd have our little offseason meeting. We need to push this draft up. We need to push the rookie draft up. No. Nobody wanted to do it. But finally I said, look, we're moving it up. This is when we're going to have the draft this year, like it or not, because it allowed the people in the league that don't put, I probably do a crazy amount of work. I probably do a level of work that most people would say is just a little psychotic on these rookies. So
you mean your wife says it's psychotic?
That she despises the amount of football and film I watch because
isn't football over?
My wife asked that today. She goes, it's still going on. I was like, whoa. These are the last two games before the Super Bowl. And she's like, okay, all right, cool.
Well, see, my wife used to say that sort of thing. But now she knows that once the actual, air quotes here, football is over, that's when I go into my psychotic mode and it's nothing but rookie film. I'm digging into these guys' backgrounds. I'm trying to find every little piece of dirt I can on these guys.
Pants are off.
Yeah, my pants are off. I have my underwear on my head. It's full-blown psychosis. But it's when you have these guys that still show up to rookie drafts with a magazine or a piece of notebook paper just scribbled on like a mad scientist. You know, like, this guy's not doing the work. And if your draft's that late, the third week of preseason, he's let the NFL do all the work for him. He's let these teams do all the work for him. He knows as much as everybody else at that draft knows at this point. So if you have a late draft, that's fine. I'm just telling you, by moving it up, if you're willing to put the work in, you're going to have the advantage on your league mates that don't, and it's going to help you.
Yep.
So I like that
for rookie drafts. Yeah. I completely agree that you want to reward the people that do the work.
Yeah.
And I think that my only caveat for that is, and the reason I almost insist to have rookie drafts after the NFL draft as well, is because there's one bit of information that the NFL gets that we don't really have any access to, and that's medical records. And a lot of times those kinds of behind the scenes and, you know, tissue things that we'll never know about impact their draft capital to a point where, you know, your evaluation on the guy, you're like, man, this guy was great. He should be drafted in the second round. And even the pundits are talking about him being, you know, having a first round
grade
and everything. Falls. Yeah. And then he falls and you're like, what the heck? And so a guy that pre-draft you'd have probably spent like the 105 on, for example, would drop down into the second round because, you know, he was a fourth or fifth round NFL draft pick. Well, that's the only thing.
I fully expected the Darius Geis. I expected a slight fall from him,
yeah,
you know, based off of what I was hearing about his interviews and things like that at the combine. But once he really started to slide and we were seeing names that we really didn't expect to go in front of him, like Ronald Jones, for instance, I then started looking around to see if there's any sort of chatter about a bad medical or physical at the combine, which I didn't find anything on.
Ronald Jones went pretty early. He was like the seventh pick in the second round. So yeah, he was pretty early still.
But the way I had it graded, I just fully expected Geis is going before Jones, with some bad interviews.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was expecting him to go at the last end of the first round. Like,
yeah, there was talk about, you know,
surely he'll go.
Somebody's going to trade back Seahawks in the first round and get him.
You know, oh, the Patriots. And they both, well, not even the Patriots. I didn't see that coming at all. But we knew the Seahawks were going to take a running back.
Yes.
And they still didn't take him.
Penny. Yeah, that one kind of blew everybody's socks off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, look where that got him. I mean, yeah. Penny still hasn't panned out. Another thing, like we talked about, teams trading up for players. The yes. Alvin Kamara, the Kareem Hunt. Kerryon Johnson is a prime example this year of a team going up to get a guy they absolutely love. When the Lions went up to go get Kerryon with the 10th pick in the second round, that is a big old just exclamation point. Just, hey, look at this. A team went up to trade in the second round. They gave up a ton of draft capital to go get their guy. And I mean, people were still taking Kerryon in like the tenth pick in the first round. He was still falling, which he should have been top five if we were gonna go by a team loves him. Big warning sign. Here he is.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things is when I have, based off of, you know, all the scouting I've done, I have possibly a slightly more infatuation with a player than maybe, you know, the masses do. And then the NFL draft comes around and you see a team go out there and trade up and go get this guy. And you're like, ah, yes, it still might not pan out, but another team's scouting department has said, we also like this guy and we're willing to move up because we don't believe he's going to get back to us and we need to have this guy. And that's just, like Tyler said, that's going to perk up your antenna just a little bit. Even if it's not a guy that you're, you know, on as maybe – you know, the rest of the, you know, the Dynasty community, if you see teams start going after certain specific individual players, teams aren't moving into spots to go after a, you know, just a group of players. Like, oh, we want to get a running back here, or we want to get a tackle here. They move in to spots to get specific players. And when you see teams do that, they're telling you something. So just listen to a little bit of what the team's telling you. And if you, you know, are kind of on the fence about a player, that's got to tell you something. That's now a guy you got to bump up a little bit. You might have been on the fence. That's got to move him into that. Okay, if that team needs him, I'm going to take a second look and see maybe if I miss something.
Yep, and Justin, you brought up Alvin Kamara. When I saw that the Saints traded up for him, he was my 107, 106, locked. Like, he wasn't getting away from 106 for me in any league. And I know I was 107 in my home league. And somebody took John Ross in front of him, and I couldn't have been jumping higher than I have since I was a kid. I mean, I was just bouncing off the walls because I just – when you see a potent offense, I know we talked about Kerryon, and that's not a potent offense, but when you see an offense like the Saints take a guy with just oozing upside, you have to look. Like Tre'Quan Smith this year, he got drafted in the third round. They traded up and got him. Another player they went up and got in the third round. Mm-hmm. Oozes upside. That's a player that, you know, has shown big, big playability just in spurts. You haven't seen it consistently. That's a player that you, in startups, you should start going for, which, Tim, I just took in the ninth round. I just took Tre'Quan.
Yeah, you did. Let's talk about one of the quarterbacks that just had his season end. The Chiefs moved all the way up to, I want to say, 10th overall to go get a guy like Patrick Mahomes when
27th, I think it was 27th to 10.
Yeah, when all the, you know, the big names, your Kuipers, Mayocks, all those guys are saying this is just a kid with a big arm. He plays in that Big 12 air raid type system. We've seen how many, you know, kids come into the league and fail out of this. But when these teams get to have the look at the combine at these guys, they have, you know, professional scouts that spend weeks and weeks and weeks digging into these guys. They go to the college games, see them live. They get to have one-on-one interviews. And a guy like Mahomes, they bring in, they have a personal workout with. And Andy Reid gets to see this kid's true talent on his practice field. And you see a team like the Chiefs that move all the way up to get a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Maybe we shouldn't have known this was going to happen, but it should have told us, like, okay, this kid's probably more than just that big arm.
Yep.
And hopefully he'll listen.
Yeah, I think one of my bigger problems and something I've definitely learned is my evaluation is probably going to lie to me if the NFL has said something otherwise. Yeah. And like that hubris of, I know better, and therefore I'm going to stick to my evaluations is something that, I mean, you know, it's hard not to be like, I planted my, you know, flag on this guy and I'm going to stick with him. Admitting we're wrong is a big part of adapting in this game and moving forward. And, you know, that's where you have to find the right time to cut bait with players or, you know, go after a guy that you never believed in. You know, a guy like Deontay Foreman, I was a huge detractor of his. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten to see him play very much because of injury. But I think that he's an offseason buy this year because he did show in a limited sample that he is a good running back. And I didn't see it when he was at Texas, but I was wrong. And so I'm willing to admit that. And as an analyst, much less as a dynasty player, I think that's a big part of this game is knowing when you're wrong and admitting it and acting upon it.
Very much so. I had, along with Geis, I had Foreman, and I also have another Texan, Kiki. Spent most of the year injured, but I like him going forward as a PPR type receiver on that team. Is a guy that probably dropped a little bit in people's minds, and you can go buy him for – you know, you're not going to have to break the bank for a guy like Kiki Kuti or Deontay Foreman.
And another player I like a lot, D.D. Westbrook. Yeah. Very underrated. Yeah. A guy that a Blitnikoff winner. I'm pretty sure. Am I right?
Yeah, he's won Blitnikoff winner. Yes.
And he, like, that says something to me. If you're a Blitnikoff winner, you're really good.
Yeah,
like,
go do yourself a favor. Google or go Wikipedia the Blitnikoff award winners list. It's a pretty solid list of wide receivers.
There's not a whole lot of misses there.
Yeah,
I mean there are some.
You're not a slouch if you win that award.
Well, if there are misses, a lot of it is self issue. Like you look at Justin Blackman, self issue. You look at I want to say Carlos Rogers in 2001 or something like that from Michigan State. Self issue, cocaine, I think it was something like that. But a lot of the players that definitely bust out from this list are self issues.
Yeah.
So D.D. Westbrook is a guy that. It doesn't matter who's really thrown to him. He's going to be the slot intermediate guy that can turn and make a big play. Very shifty, quick. It doesn't matter if he's too small, but God, he's fun to watch. He's a player I like a lot.
When the Jags took him and they still had Allen Robinson there and Allen Hurns, I thought he was going to fit in very well. You had two outside guys. I thought Dede was going to slide right into the slot, and they were going to have one of the best receiver cores in the game, and it just didn't pan out that way for the Jaguars, but I really, really like that pick when they made it, that's for sure.
Yep, and then Allen Robinson, God, he would have been a tremendous buy low if he didn't have a monstrous game
at
the
end of the season, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely in that buy low category, that's for sure. And maybe you can still get him. I mean, you can sell it to the owner, the current owner of Allen Robinson. Two big games. What's that?
You can just go, Trubisky's a terrible quarterback, it's still up in the air. Now, I mean, he progressed, but did he?
He did. I don't think he took the leap a lot of people thought he might this year. There was a lot of that, this is the new Rams hype on the Chicago Bears going into the season. The Super Bowl Rams. But Trubisky is not Jared Goff. And Nagy is not McVay. So you're talking about like McVay light and Goff light. So they took a small step. I'm looking forward to the second season in this offense for Trubisky. I think he's going to continue to grow. And I mean, the kid runs. The kid's athletic. He's going to get you points on the ground. That's for sure.
So, and another player, I saw this from Ryan McDowell today, and how it's a good time to go out and get yourself a little Todd Gurley share. Because I get it's a little head scratching why they're not using him. The man hurt his knee like 3 weeks ago. It's an injury that would probably keep him 4 to 6 weeks normally. Mm-hmm. Is my guess, but he banged up his knee, so he's not 100%. He was dominating carries and touches throughout the year. He's a little tired, and then you bring in this guy who's got the freshest legs, yeah, he's going to look a little bit better. But, I mean, Todd Gurley is amazing. And the fact that people are just like, oh, Todd Gurley, the wheels are falling off. Here we go, sell.
Well, so many teams had him, you know, in the playoffs. And, you know, that week 15 just kind of killed a lot of people. So people got that sour taste in their mouth to end the season. So they're going to have to sit all offseason staring at Todd Gurley on the roster being like, oh, man, you killed me. I could have been in the championship game if it was for you.
Mm-hmm. Buy on the recency bias.
Yeah, take full advantage.
Recency bias for Dynasty is actually really sad, considering this is supposed to be a long-term pain. And everybody's like, oh, you suck. I'm going to get rid of you. Or, you know, running back's replaceable, which is a completely different point than, you know, fantasy football running back.
Damien Williams is a high pick now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm not on that train. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong on Damien Williams. But come on. Like, come on, people. He was literally for free.
Yeah, like, just a few weeks ago.
Week 10.
I think that the thing on Damien Williams is that, you know, Miami's shown us that they are not capable of utilizing running back well.
They're not good self-evaluators.
No, they're not. And he's talented. I liked him coming out of OU. But he just hasn't had the opportunity. Now, am I going to spend, you know, what people paid for Kareem Hunt on Damian Williams? Absolutely not. Because there's absolutely a chance that they draft someone.
Who went first in this league, Tim? Kareem Hunt or Damian Williams?
Oh, Damian Williams by a mile.
And I think I'd still rather have Kareem Hunt. Like, that might just be me. But, I mean, you hear the rumors about Kareem Hunt. Again, looked at by team seriously now. It looks like we're going to find out what's going to happen with him sooner than later. Kareem Hunt, his buy window is probably closing. you know, we're not going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about the football player, and he's a running back one when he's on the field, and if he gets another chance, right now is the ultimate value for Kareem Hunt.
So I think the value lies in how long his suspension is going to be. I don't think that there's any chance it's less than 6 games.
But I bet it's 6.
I bet you it's 6. And the thing was, is how fast can the NFL get this case looked at? Because in the past, they've really been slow. So I think you're right, yeah, alluding to the buy window is about to be closing. So if you know, if you're a guy that can accept some risk and the price is right, this is the time. I typically play my leagues where I don't grab that risk just because I've seen it work in the negative so many times. But that's just a way that I'm kind of built. So I understand people that do like to go take that risk. But yeah, same thing with Josh Gordon. At a time, there was a time you could have bought him dirt cheap. And then whenever they bounced back,
sold him for like 2 firsts midseason when he went to the Patriots.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's always, if nothing else, if you never even plan to use them, you can usually play the market with them. So
yep,
that's a part of Dynasty. That for sure is. I wanted to say real quick, thank you to everybody that interacted with my tweet about my rankings. And, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, re-ranking the rookie rankings before we get into the 2019 class. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that interacted with me, because I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So let me steer this back to startups real quick. But okay, so now we're in the late rounds of a startup. Are you guys just going out there and trying to find the most solid player on the board? Or when it gets to round 13 and beyond for me, I'm taking those guys that are my guys that I have a high upside on, and I'm taking shots then. I'm getting those guys, and they might not start one game for me this season, but I have belief that at some point they're either going to rise to the point where I'm going to be able to sell them for profit, or they're going to become starters for my team.
Oh, I'm definitely going to take shots at young players with some draft capital, like a John ESB. Ross. ESB, yes.
Yeah, that's your guy.
MVS.
Yeah.
QVC.
ABC, CBS, NBC.
Yeah, but like players like that, like John Ross, Laquon Treadwell even. You look at the draft capital, maybe a second contract guy, a guy that goes with a different team, gets a better chance of some playing time. I go for players like that. You kind of look at depth chart, maybe, like a Keelan Cole. Maybe he just hit a huge slump, guy to go after and go get. But yeah, definitely take shots on your guys. I'm not mentioning some because I guarantee people in this draft are going to listen to this when it drops. So I don't want to mention, there's about 4 players I really want to mention, but I'm not going to.
For me, one of them was Robert Foster. I was, you know, I was thinking I'll get him later in the draft, and he went in the 9th round. So
yeah. And even before Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Mr. Levitation himself. All right, well, that is actually going to end the podcast. You guys, I want to say thank you, but we are going to go record a little thing called our Patreon podcast, which you guys can all be a part of for just $1.
Yes, sir.
Yes, why don't you turn around when you're in that McDonald's drive-thru, turn around and save that dollar, and why don't you come get an extra podcast? Tim is still releasing his lovely scouting reports every week or two. And we come up with a new podcast every week. So that's 4 extra podcasts for $1 a month. That's 4 extra 15 to 45 minutes with us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cheap. I mean, my wife pays that to get rid of me. But also, like we mentioned, new ranks coming up, new rookie rankings. We will have those up. Justin has his rankings up. I'm still kind of working through my 100 through 200 now. I got my top 100 kind of situated. I need to work on them a little more. But also, I see all these shirts coming out. I know RotoWear, by the way, I just got the Bruce Arians, the Bucko Bruce t-shirt. I freaking love that. And then the Forever Julio shirt. I got that one. Had to. But we also have lovely shirts.
We do.
And I'm looking to get new shirt styles in. Maybe some polos, maybe some hats. And yeah, we got lovely shirts there. And when you're part of Patreon, you get a percentage off these shirts. That is also a lovely part of Patreon. 25% off is the ultimate possibility, which is a ton, a boatload. How much snow we're getting, load. So everybody, I would like to thank you guys for stopping in. You guys want to say anything?
No. Let's go Rams, I guess, in the Super Bowl if I have to pick between these two.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to be an overwhelming sentiment. But yeah, had a great time. Catch everybody next time.
Yes, agreed. Let's go Rams. When they kept mentioning the third time the Patriots have been in, I kept having nightmares of 28-3. So let's go Rams. See you guys.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.